someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
45 years ago, I was born with sickle cell anemia, a painful, debilitating diagnosis with little relief for many like myself. But today, because of groundbreaking work at Howard University and elsewhere, we know much more about the disease and its management as we head towards finding a cure. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest on The Journey is Howard University Professor Emeritus of Medicine and Pediatrics and pioneer in the field of sickle cell research, my physician, Dr. Oswaldo Castro. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Frederick. It's a great privilege and pleasure to be here with you. I really appreciate you inviting me.
So, Dr. Castro, we met each other in 1988. I was a freshman here at Howard University, 16 years old when I enrolled, and a big decision, a big part of the decision-making process in my household was the fact that Howard University had a sickle cell center. And that is obviously how I came to meet you and how you came to be taking care of me. What have you seen in terms of the evolution of sickle cell anemia in terms of its treatment, its presentation, since you've been involved with this work?
Well, I've been involved with sickle cell disease for many years, and I have been very fortunate to see a number of advances in the management and treatment of sickle cell disease. Even there is now a cure for it. First of all, just going back to some data that Dr. Roland B. Scott, my mentor at Howard University, developed many, many years ago, the important thing was to be able to diagnose sickle cell children at birth. And he pioneered that with that idea. It eventually caught on, and now pretty much every state has a newborn screening program to be able to identify children, babies with sickle cell disease, so that they can be put on a preventive program that will prevent infections, which were, in those days, one of the major causes of death in these children.
Yeah, certainly. When I was born in Port of Spain, Trinidad, in 1971, mandatory sickle cell testing was just introduced that year. So my parents were very fortunate to find out at the time of birth about my diagnosis. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Roland B. Scott, who in many ways is considered one of the major pioneers of sickle cell. Before you tell us about the things that he did to change the field of study around sickle cell anemia, tell us about him.
Well, I had the privilege of working for him and with him for many years. I came to Howard in 1974, and he is the one who interviewed me to be able to offer me the position over here. One of the things that just stands out in my memory is just how he could handle setbacks, adversities, things of that nature. When we worked together and something happened that we didn't want to happen, sometimes administratively, then I went into his office just wringing my hands, and I was so upset. And he just sat there and nodded his head. And then I figured out, while I was, you know, blowing off steam, he was already in his mind figuring out what is the solution to the problem.
Absolutely.
Now, I wish I had learned that, but he was a remarkable individual. And I guess you would have to say that you have to have that type of inner strength to be able to triumph medically at the time when, for African Americans, that was practically very, very difficult. He flourished. Right. When many people could not, were not allowed to.
And that brings about a good point. He started the Sickle Cell Center in the year of my birth. So it has special significance for me. Tell us about the Sickle Cell Center and what transpired and how it grew from those beginnings.
Well, Dr. Scott's vision for the center was manifold. For one thing, he felt, and correctly, that there was not enough information in the public about sickle cell disease. It was just people didn't pay much attention to it. So one of the important things was that people in the medical community and in the community in general knew more about this disease. Okay. Another thing that he wanted very much to be a part of dealing with this is for people to be able to get tested for sickle cell disease so that they would know whether or not they have it, number one. And number two, if they had a trait, whether or not they would have a chance for having a baby with sickle cell disease in the particular cases where one individual with sickle cell trait marries somebody else who also has a sickle cell trait. Mm-hmm. So testing and counseling was an important part of the of his vision. But equally important was the fact that he wanted testing and counseling without stigmatizing. Because you can imagine that it would be very simple to just do some blanket, you know, radio announcement and then require everybody to get tested. Well, no, his vision was, number one, you have to first give information so that people decide whether they want to be tested and why it is good to be tested. They had to be informed consent. And most of all, there had to be some follow-up so that the test will not just become a paper to be written in the medical journals, but actually something that might be of some relevance and benefits to individuals who actually were tested. We're talking about the 70s, okay, and there were all kinds of incorrect assumptions about sickle cell disease in those days. I remember in one interview, they asked some guy, have you been tested for sickle cell disease? And he said, oh, yes, I've had my sickle cell shots.
I understand. You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Oswaldo Castro. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Now, continuing along the vein of the fact that he certainly brought a certain empathy and compassion to what was already a confusing circumstance to young families with young children. I guess the other issue today is there is at least a cure for sickle cell. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? It's not one that can apply to everyone with sickle cell, mm-hmm. but certainly has some applicability as we look for other opportunities for cure.
I have been very fortunate to be living at a time where I got to see some of my sickle cell patients cured. And the cure consists on stem cell transplantation. Adult stem cells, which are gotten either from the bone marrow, which is the organ of the body that forms the blood, or from the blood, because stem cells are also in the blood and you can collect them. And if you happen to have a sibling who doesn't have sickle cell disease and whose tissue typing is compatible with yours as a patient, then that individual can give you that stem cell transplantation. And once that transplantation takes, then technically the individual is cured. From then on, he will not have the symptoms or signs of sickle cell disease. The anemia will go away and the main complications will no longer occur. And the difficulty is that those good results are applicable only to individuals who have siblings, full siblings, who are compatible. And any one sickle cell individual has only about a 11 to 15% probability to having a sibling, of having a sibling who is able to be a bone marrow marrow donor. Now, previously, maybe about 10, 12 years ago, the cure for sickle cell disease was restricted only for children because the transplantation of the stem cells, bone marrow stem cells to adults, was fraught with many dangers. So the people had major problems with the transplant itself. Now, through studies done at the NIH, National Institutes of Health, and elsewhere, there is a new way of preparing the patient who's going to receive the transplant so that they are able to receive the transplant without the serious complications. And currently, I would say that an adult patient with sickle cell disease, if he or she has a donor, there is an 80 to 90% chance of a cure.
And just to give our audience a good sense of what sickle cell anemia is, if you can explain why this is so important, what types of symptoms are you trying to prevent, and then what types of long-term sequelae are you trying to avoid well?
Well, sickle cell disease is a genetic condition, and it occurs in the most cases when two individuals both have sickle cell trait, which are asymptomatic changes in blood hemoglobin level. Hemoglobin is that part of the red cell that makes the red cell red. Okay, and when an individual inherits a sickle cell gene from each one of his parents, then that individual has homozygous sickle cell disease or sickle cell anemia. And the disorder is characterized by a lifelong anemia. It can be mild, it can be severe, but there's always some degree of anemia there. Frequently, actually, you may have blockage of the blood vessels, so you begin to have problems associated with tissue injury, such as, for example, a lot of pain, swelling, inflammation. And unfortunately, if a lot of organs get this particular problem for a long time, then you then end up with organ damage.
So in some cases, in younger patients, even in children, you may have something as severe as a stroke.
That's correct. It can involve, the blood vessels going to the brain. It can involve the blood vessels going to the lungs. So people have a pneumonia-like illness. It can be very severe. Sometimes it's fatal. And people can have the spleen being destroyed by the blood vessels which are blocked. And older individuals begin to have damaged kidneys. So that becomes a big issue. So a number of organs can be affected.
Now, you mentioned the cure, which obviously is limited to siblings, to patients with siblings. So for the patients who may not have siblings with normal hemoglobin or the genes that are both normal, what are some of the treatments in those patients today? What are some of the contemporary treatments?
Well, first of all, our hope is that even those individuals who do not have a compatible sibling, we hope that the technology will advance to the extent that one can take unrelated donors who are also compatible. And then, of course, you open up that possibility. We're not there yet by any means, but studies are being done to see whether or not that might be possible. Other than that, I'm always amazed by the speed at which technology advances, particularly in the area of genetics. And there are a number of techniques that can be used for something that could be broadly called gene therapy. Okay, basically, you do something that reverses the type of effect that the mutated gene caused. The latest one of those is one called gene editing, in which one actually can, you know, take out the abnormal portion of DNA and put in the normal portion in there. Now, that currently is restricted to animals in the laboratory.
Right. So it sounds like there are lots of things on the horizon in terms of effecting a cure. As we close, I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself, about your journey.
I was born in South America, in the country of Ecuador, but we emigrated out of Ecuador many, many years ago, my family. I ended up in the United States and became a hematologist, primarily because when I went to medical school, the chief of medicine was a famous hematologist, and we just kind of admired him, so I became a hematologist. I went to the, you know, my fellowship in hematology, and then I went into the faculty of Yale University in New Haven, and my mentor there had discovered a way of transfusing human sickle cells into laboratory rats or mice by blocking their immune system. Okay, and once he had that methodology, then we were looking for abnormal red cells to study in those animals. And the only one red cell abnormality which is common is sickle cell disease. So we decided to do studies in sickle cell disease.
Excellent. Well, thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. Oswaldo Castro. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.